Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us during the lunch period. We're happy that you're here with us, and hopefully there'll be more people trickling in the next few minutes. So my name is Amanda Navarro. I'm Deputy Director at PolicyLink, and I am the moderator for today's session. So welcome and thank you for attending this session hosted by the Community Health Planning and Policy Development section at APHA. A quick note, please feel free to pick up an abbreviated program listing to see what other exciting sessions you can attend. And also, if you're currently not a member of CHPPD, please consider joining us as a secondary section, as there is no additional cost to signing up for secondary section membership in addition to one's primary section affiliation. Also, please visit us at booth 4C in the exhibition hall to meet and network with other CHPPD members, as well as pick up some literature and items from our section, including pens and notepads. We encourage you to leave your business cards for our developing mentorship database of CHPPD members, as we are looking to continue building bridges between our non-student and student members. So thank you. So today's session is titled Best Practices and Lessons Learned. Oh, apologies for that. That's not it. We'll start with that. So the beginning of this is called Best Practices and Lessons Learned for Increasing Access to Underserved Populations, the Convergence Partnership. The overall panel objectives for today include describing a model for philanthropic partnership in which collective impact is achieved through shared decision-making and leadership and joint grant-making, to also identify core areas of interest and policy priorities among funders supporting efforts to advance healthy people and healthy places, and lastly, to discuss equitable strategies and environmental change efforts occurring nationally and regionally, as well as emerging best practices and lessons learned. So who we have on our panel today is David Fukuzawa, Program Director for Health at the Kresge Foundation, Chris Cable, Senior Program Officer, also at the Kresge Foundation, formerly at the Northwest Health Foundation, and then Jamie McLean, who is Associate Director at PolicyLink. And they can give a little bit more about themselves as they come up to speak. So I'm going to start. First, I have to say I have no relationships to disclose. But I will begin by talking and giving an overview of the Convergence Partnership. So the Convergence Partnership is a collaborative of 8 major funders, healthcare institutions, and the CDC, serving as technical advisors, all engaged in multi-field, equity-focused policy and environmental change efforts to achieve our vision of healthy people and healthy places. PolicyLink serves as the program director for the Convergence Partnership and helps to develop strategy and advance the partnership's vision and works with the Prevention Institute to provide policy research and analysis. So the steering committee of the Convergence Partnership includes Ascension Health, the California Endowment, Kaiser Permanente, Kresge Foundation, Nemours, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, W.K. Kellogg Foundation, and as I mentioned, the CDC serves as our technical advisor. Our vision is healthy people in healthy places. Now, this requires a broad expertise and influence of funders, advocates, practitioners, and community leaders working across multiple fields to create healthy environments and equitable communities. So this is our vision statement, and the Convergence Partnership envisions a nation in which every community fosters health, prosperity, and well-being for all. And we do this by promoting 3 key pillars of our work. The first is equity, as the means to ensure that everyone has the opportunity to participate and prosper, that we're focused on policies and practices that create conditions that sustain healthy people in healthy places, and lastly, that we promote connections among people across multiple fields and sectors that catalyze and accelerate the work. So what do we mean by equity? The way that PolicyLink defines this is just and fair inclusion. So really the goals of equity are to remove barriers and create conditions that allow all to reach their full potential. And achieving equity in the way in which the Convergence Partnership does its work is really requiring intentionality, focus, leadership, and a shared commitment to community engagement and participation. Here's our theory of change, and I won't go through it in depth, but only to lift up one thing, which is, again, the equity focus, that you'll see equity at the very center of all of the different fields and sectors that we're trying to impact. We're not working across all of them. We're focused on a few. But the point of this is to say that equity is not only the outcome that we are achieving to reach through our vision and through our work, but that equity is also the rationale and the driver by which the partnerships makes all of its decisions on what types of activities it engages in, the partners that we bring into our work, and also the decisions on investments that the partnerships make. So the three core strategies that we already mentioned is, again, policy and environmental change, having an equity-focused and multi-field partnerships. Part of our work, and a good chunk of it, has been to really bust through the silos of government agencies, of philanthropy, of the way in which we've been working to really address issues around equity, bringing together different fields in a way of which they have never worked in before, and doing business in a very different way. And we've seen quite a bit of success, both in philanthropy and government and our other partnerships. And David, Chris, and Jamie will speak to that a little bit more in a bit. So the National Partnership has been working on a variety of different issues over the past 6 years. And David specifically will be talking about our transportation work as well as our access to healthy food work at the national level. But we've also been doing a lot around federal policy advocacy. And this has we've engaged in a number of ways, writing memos, promoting and providing recommendations to federal agencies, providing language on RFPs, in particular helping to inform the Community Transformation Grant Program, and also working with legislators and senior leadership at the administration to really infuse the importance of health and equity in all types of policy and grant-making programs that come out at the federal level. The partnership has also been working at the local and regional level on two major initiatives. The first is the Regional Convergence Partnership. We currently have 14 regional convergence partnerships across the country. This is bringing together funders as well as advocates and practitioners and local and state government representatives to come together to create a common policy agenda to really maximize impact and synergize the work that's happening in a region to promote health and equity. And we'll give one particular example of that, and that's the Michigan Convergence Partnership, of which David and the Kresge Foundation have been a part of. The second big major initiative out of the Convergence Partnership is the Innovation Fund. And that is a 3-year matching grant to foundations to incentivize them to expand or shift their portfolio that will help to support community projects and community partnerships that both advance health and equity, either in the built environment or in increasing access to healthy food. And currently we're working with 28 local partnerships and projects across the country. So this is a map of where convergence is taking place around the country. As you will see, the original regional convergence partnerships, those were 9 funder collaboratives, are in a lime green. The orange was the first phase of our Convergence Innovation Fund, which were 15 projects. We then brought in a second cohort of regional convergence partnerships and a second cohort of the Innovation Fund. So this network is growing, and we're now at over 70 foundations that are part of our network, really moving on the vision of healthy people and healthy places through the 3 core pillars of convergence. So the way in which we've really been seeing impact at the federal, local, and regional level has been that in part our work regarding food access has been to lift up the Pennsylvania Fresh Food Financing model as a national model, and have now worked to establish the Federal Healthy Food Financing Initiative, which has been extremely successful and had a huge impact across the country. We've also, through our partnership with the CDC, influenced the National Transformation Grant Program and continue to have partnerships and conversations with the CDC about how to implement that program more effectively. We've impacted food and agriculture policy. Currently, the Convergence Partnership recently launched a Food and Ag Policy Fund that is working to engage other funders across the country that are interested in having a voice in advocating for particular equitable and health-related food targets through the Farm Bill and beyond. And also including Convergence Partnership's priorities, including the federal transportation legislation, which you'll hear in a little bit. We've also influenced quite a bit of the HUD Sustainable Communities Initiative, in particular really bringing, again, a health component to sustainable communities as well as an equitable component. And for those of you that know the Sustainable Communities Initiative, there's a pretty predominant component of community engagement that is a requirement as part of that work, and that was in part in conversation through the Convergence Partnership with HUD. We've also influenced the State Innovation Model Program through the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, and particularly having them connect population health with health care and lifting up the importance of looking at social determinants of health as part of the work as it relates to Medicare, Medicaid, and health care. We have sparked innovation and leveraged new partnerships and resources to advance convergence agenda, and that is both through our Innovation Fund and regional convergence partnerships. And we have fostered new efforts. So out of the membership of the Convergence Partnership, there have been subsets of partners that have come together to launch really innovative national initiatives. And because of that connection and partnership from the Convergence Partnership, that has now spread out into different types of collaboratives and collaborative efforts. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to David Fukuzawa from the Kresge Foundation to give his presentation. Thank you so much.
I'm going to be spending a little time sort of talking about the experience of sort of the national partnership, and then a specific example, as Amanda mentioned, in Michigan, where we're trying to create a Michigan state-based convergence model. But first, a little bit about Kresge. We are not really a health funder, although we are members of the steering committee of the Convergence Partnership. Now, I direct the health program, but we have five other programs, which include arts and culture, human services, education, the environment focused on climate change, and also a program specifically focused on the city of Detroit, which has been very busy recently. We've been around, in 10 years, it'll be 100 years old, the Kresge Foundation. But for most of that time, for all of the 20th century, what we did is bricks and mortar kinds of grant making. So wherever you went to college, there's probably a Kresge building somewhere on the campus that we helped build. But about 7 years ago, we embarked on a pretty dramatic change and shift in how we were doing grant making to a more strategic kind of grant making. And for the health portfolio, that meant really moving away from the kind of institutional grant making that we were doing to really thinking about underserved populations and health disparities and health equity. And given our grounding in the built environment, it seemed like a natural way to sort of think about health, that health is in fact rooted in all these upstream factors, including the built environment, including social conditions, including culture. And for us, it was kind of a logical transition to move into something within a convergence framework. Having said that, I do want to say a little bit about from a funder perspective, because you may not understand this, that you may think that funders must get together all the time to work together. You're laughing, so you know that doesn't always happen. It's hard to get them to align in a place, much less to align nationally. But going way back 7 or 8 years, you had foundations like RWJ, Kellogg, California Endowment, Kaiser Permanente, that were all sort of working on this common issue around obesity. And looking around both access to healthy foods as well as the built environment and physical activity. And they began to realize, and I'm going to use a term that Howie Frumkin reminded me this morning at a session on climate change, that, you know, when you're dealing with this kind of complexity, because the issue of obesity really isn't one thing. It's a complex social issue, which is not just what you eat and how you walk. It's really tied into where you live. It's tied into the culture. It's tied into the capitalistic system, on and on and on. And in order to tackle complex systems, you really can't deal with that on a siloed basis. You can't deal with it, you know, through single streams of funding. You can't even deal with it within a single, like, philanthropic kind of sector. So if you're a health funder, you're never going to get to the roots of obesity by thinking only within health. And the original convergence partnership, which didn't include Kresge at the time, realized that there was something that had to be beyond health. And so really, the equity focus represents the fact that it is sort of like the ultimate social determinant, that, you know, going back to Sir Michael's opening address, you know, it really is this sort of deeper inequality in our society, which is sort of at the root of a lot of these health disparities, and that's what kind of we're after. So I'm going to talk a little bit about sort of a little bit more about the national policy initiatives, because in ways these are well beyond any traditional category of health. But first, to sort of talk about, you know, our experience together. So, you know, it began with health funders, and then we were the first funder to join back in 2008, 2009, and we were not a health funder, and have since been joined by Ascension Health and the Rockefeller Foundation. And the Rockefeller Foundation is really getting kind of, you know, far away from health, and we're looking to expand possibly to even other non-health funders, because the issues, as I said, that affect us, you know, really beyond any one category to challenge or address. So what are the ingredients for our success? Strategic opportunism is what we call it. And that's this ability to be somewhat nimble, because this is the sort of thing, especially with the political environment and the turbulence we have within all systems, that you can't simply set a single direction and a single five-year plan and simply follow it. You know, the opportunities, especially midway through this with the ACA, meant that we really had to adjust our sights. And the fact that you had something coming up like the CTG and CPPW and sustainable communities initiatives all meant that there were opportunities to engage the federal government and talk about and infuse policies with equity. We've benefited from a long-term commitment, not only from the folks who serve on the steering committee, but from the highest levels of leadership from all the foundations, which is pretty unusual. We've had a couple of letters signed by the CEOs addressed to the White House and others on issues around prevention. Adding value, you know, we really see our role as not simply doing what others are already doing pretty well. I mean, there's already a lot of very good work, you know, that has been going on in both the food and physical activity area. But to figure out the ways that as a combined force, we can really add value. And there's a difference in what a single foundation or even two foundations can do as opposed to what eight foundations can do. Committed, insightful, and connected program support. So we do try to link all of our strategies together with each other. The one thing that all of us all talk about is that we have developed a spirit of trust and collaboration amongst ourselves. That this doesn't always happen in funder collaboratives. In fact, what in some ways distinguishes this from other collaboratives that I've been involved with is just how much more this is about than simply the sort of collective capital, but that is the financial capital, but really the collective intellectual capital of the partners and really thinking through a lot of different kinds of issues. So moving on to the Federal Transportation Reauthorization, as many of you know, this is one of the few things that Congress has been able to pass, although despite all the advocacy around it, it wasn't the bill that everyone was hoping for. Having said that, there were some elements within the transportation bill, as it stands, which offer some opportunity to infuse and inject some things around equity. You know, part of that was, you know, from the consolidation of the programs. But one of the big things was having the opportunity to integrate performance measures, whatever that means. You know, as you can imagine, from a public health point of view, there's an opportunity there then to really leverage not just thousands of dollars, but billions of dollars, which are not for programs. They will reshape the physical built environment of our communities for probably decades. So the decisions today that the MPOs are making about this federal transportation money will influence how we move and how we live and where we live. I don't think we need to go over the barriers to why this didn't happen. We live in such a contentious, polarized political environment that it was very difficult to get these other elements that would have been more transformative. We won't talk about the Farm Bill because that hasn't gone anywhere yet. But the one victory we have on the food side, as Amanda mentioned, is the Healthy Food Financing Initiative. The important thing to understand about this was that in Policy Link here was aided by key partners, the Food Trust and the Reinvestment Fund. And TRF, the Reinvestment Fund, was in fact the CDFI, the Community Development Financial Institution, which helped create the Pennsylvania Fresh Food Financing Initiative. So this is actually a funding source which comes from several different streams. It's grant money from three different branches of government of the federal government. So it's not only USDA and HHS, but the U.S. Treasury. And along with the Treasury money, there's also all this community finance dollars which goes in. In other words, the regular money that goes into community development in low-income communities. So just to give you some sense of where this money is going, the small red dots are the original 2012 grantees, or rather the recent 2012 grantees, and the large yellow ones are the 2011 grantees from CDFI, and then the blue dots are the 2012 and 2011 dots from grantees from HHS. And just to sort of give you some sense of the kind of money that is going out. These are just the grant portion of it, and so we're not even talking about the financing portion of these of the money. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with kind of the community development kind of infrastructure, CDFIs are basically the sort of banking arm of low-income community development in this country. So insofar as there's low-income housing development, retail development in low-income areas, and that sort of thing, that money flows through largely through CDFIs, not through your big commercial banks. And this is where much of the financing money will be flowing through for the HHFI. So I'll talk a little bit very briefly about the Michigan Convergence, just to sort of give you a sense, because we have this sort of national program which is really trying to pull on a lot of different levers, both policy as well as action at the sort of agency level. But we also want work on the ground, because this really can't be simply some big play at the top. The only way for this to be sustained over time is for the idea that a multi-sector, multi-field, equity-focused policy environmental change kind of movement can happen. It has to take root at the local level. And in Michigan, we have the Kellogg Foundation and Kresge, and we decided we really needed to take some leadership within our own state and to develop our own statewide convergence partnership. And the interesting thing about Michigan that is different than some other places is that Michigan has always had a long tradition of community activism, labor activism, where the other states have focused on, I would say, more of a health lens. The fact that the economy in a state like Michigan is so critical to its own sense of identity, and as well as the sort of sense that this is where the state's needs are, is that we have incorporated the issue of a healthy economy into our vision of healthy people, healthy places. So these are the triad that we are looking at then: economic prosperity and access to good jobs, as well as access to good food, and as well as equitable transportation. And these are our guiding principles. I won't go into all of it except that in great detail, because most of these are pretty evident. But I will say, and this has been a discussion in probably all the places that the Convergence Partnership has supported local efforts, is that the equity piece is always the most difficult one to help people understand, because you almost have to understand it within your own context. But it's also an issue which, in a way, transcends the kind of way we have typically solved problems. That is, sort of by looking at specific systems or specific issues, and not looking at some of the deeper underlying issues that may be even antecedent to those problems. So I don't know how the discussion around equity goes in your community, but it's not always the easiest one to have. People understand it, but it's hard to get at more of a gut level. So we started with these foundations. You may know some of these, you may not. Certainly the Mott Foundation is a big national foundation, as well as Kellogg. Skillman is the biggest local foundation, regional foundation in the state. But interestingly, the Department of Community Health played a big leadership role in helping us get started. And this is where we are now. We've branched out from the funder base to really being a coalition of kind of a coalition of coalitions, as well as state agencies and a lot of community partners that are doing this sort of equity work on the ground. it's an interesting collection because we've brought together people not only working on sustainable food systems, but people also working separately on equity and public transportation, and also the environment and land use issues. So all those have been combined together. So just concluding, the focus of the Michigan version of this is really thinking beyond the health and equity in all policies and opportunities under ACA, really thinking about how we do this under a community development framework, which leads to jobs, because that really is sells in a place like Michigan.
Thank you, David.